Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture lesson for today will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were affixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Almighty God, may we hear those wonderful words of life that can wonder-filled our life, so that your glory and honor might live through us, wherever we may be, and whoever we may come in contact with. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story that comes before this is Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, as you will recall. That scripture and story is saved for the first Sunday of Lent, so we will come back to it later. Here it says that Jesus is still in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is still in, which drove him to the wilderness. He now is possessed, fulfilled, inspired by this. Now he comes in that power and returns to Galilee. A report of him, you will notice, where people are praising him. It's going all through the country about who he is. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you're not from where he's from, and you don't know his mama and dad and his brothers and his sisters and his uncles and the aunts, you might think that Jesus is pretty cool. You might think that he's somebody. You know, I've always heard that if you want to be somebody, you got to be from out of town. I mean, you can't be somebody if you're from Lafayette and you live in Lafayette. See, I lived in Dayton. I had to come to Lafayette before I become somebody. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? Jesus, of course, he goes back home, it says. He goes back to the synagogue. He goes back around people that knows him. They knew him as a little boy. People remember how cute he was and all those little sweet questions he used to ask and how intrigued they were. But you know, you can only be so smart. And here Jesus is, 30 years old. He's in the synagogue. And it's his time to read the scripture. And what's interesting is the text and the book in which they gave him, which was the book of Isaiah. Remember, we are in Epiphany. Epiphany is about unveiling, revealing that which is hidden. The book of Isaiah many times is about the hidden God. If you're in exile, you might wonder where God is. If you're oppressed, you might wonder where God is. If you're poor, you might wonder where God is. If you are indebted, you may wonder where God is. If you are in need of being free, but you are bound, you might wonder where God is. The book of Isaiah is about the hidden God. Where is God? If we are here in Babylon and we should be home, where are we? Of course, you and I know that whenever Israel went into exile, they weren't the victim of someone else. They were their own victim. They wondered why God had done this to them, and God hadn't done it to them. They had done it to themselves. Of course, God did say to them, if you're in the promised land and you misbehave, I'll take you out of the promised land and I'll put you somewhere else. Well, God's being true to his word, but he's not doing it because God doesn't love them. Sometimes things happen to us because God does love us. You know, sometimes I think that these nutritionists are the 21st prophet. You know, a nutrition. They always say what we don't want to hear. Yes? No more bacon. I love that commercial where this guy comes out of the hospital. His wife says, well, what did they say? And he said, well, it's not what I hope to hear. He said, after the surgery, I have to quit eating bacon. And she smiled and she said, well, you can do that. Of course, I'm sure he grinned real hard and said, mm-hmm. God asks us to put away from our lives that which destroys us. But you see, the thing of it is that if you and I are in a destructive relationship or if we're in something that's destructive, many times you and I don't view that. I've been in relationship, you know, in my past before I got married. I was in relationship with girls that my mom and dad and friends said to me, you shouldn't be in that relationship. Well, I thought they were crazy. I just thought they didn't want me to be happy. I thought they were jealous. I thought, well, you know, let's make Randall miserable day. You know? You and I can be in love with someone or something that's totally destroying our lives and we can't see it, but other people can. We may be oppressed and we don't know that we're oppressed. We may be destroying ourselves and we don't see that we're destroying ourselves. And then sometimes we may see it, but we don't care. Sometimes God sends into our lives people that want to love us and try to love us to life, and sometimes we resent that because we know what they're saying is true. We're just not there yet. We hope to be there. We're praying to be there, but it takes a while to get there, you know. We didn't get where we were overnight. It's not going to be an overnight thing, you know. So Jesus is sent to his hometown where everybody knows his mama. They think his daddy. They think Joseph is his daddy. They know his brothers. They know his sisters. They know his kinfolk. And you know, it's sort of hard when you know somebody, especially if you went to school with them, and you know what all they did. You know, I was in the band at Ray County High School, so everybody in the band knew me. They knew who I hung around. They know what I did. I've shared with you before that when I go back to, school reunions, maybe you experience this too sometimes, you know, they still ask me if I'm still preaching. You know, history hardly dies, you know. When people know what you used to be, they're not sure if you can be anything different. You know? But you and I know that when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, a transformation happens. It may not be revolutionary. It may be evolutionary. It may take time. But sometimes it's hard for people to think that you can be a lost individual who was totally working against God, and then one day God call you and put you in the pulpit and begin preaching about the good news without you feeling hypocritical. How can you stand in the pulpit and not feel hypocritical? Well, when you know you're forgiven, when you know you're called, when you know you're given second chances, when you know that God is with you and loves you and is going to love you back to life, that gives you courage to be able to do that. I don't know if you remember the first time you taught Sunday school, or if you're a lay speaker, whatever, the first time you spoke at a church or whatever, how frightening that can be. Here is Jesus. He's given the scroll out of Isaiah, and he reads it, and then he begins to interpret what that means. It says that people were praising him. Of course, that was in Galilee. Now he's in Nazareth. And he says to them, all the scripture that you have heard read is being fulfilled. Because God has sent me, anointed me, has enabled me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to me to let the oppressed go free, to me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Not only was Jesus given this, but he gave his disciples the same great commission to go out and to do the same thing. You know, one of the things that you and I may not have a hard time doing is implementing Matthew's great commission. You know, going to all the world, baptizing them, remember? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have taught you. Well, see, it's one thing to go out into the water and to dunk somebody, if that's what they want, in the name of the Father. You know, whenever you submerge someone, if you do it like the first century, you baptize them once and you hold them under a little bit. And then you bring them back. And then you baptize them in the name of the Son and you hold them down longer than you did the first time. And then you bring them back up. And then when you baptize them in the name of the Holy Ghost, you bring them down and you hold them until you feel them shaking. And that's when they're desiring a breath of air. They've got to have air to live. And when they raise them up and they take that big breath, do you know what that's a sign of? The receiving of the Holy Spirit. I had a pastor once who held someone under a little bit longer than what they thought he should. And he said, well, why are you holding him under? He says, well, when a Methodist acts like a Baptist. That was his humor. But Jesus comes to share with us his job, his calling, his love for you and me is to release us if we are oppressed. I don't know how many of us would ever think that we've ever been oppressed. But the Bible teaches us that before we knew him, we were slaves to sin. And you and I may say, well, you know, preacher, I don't know about that. I mean, I wasn't that bad of a person before I knew Jesus. We see how subtle evil is. Evil is so subtle that, you know, evil doesn't always seem like evil. Sinfulness don't always, you know, what's the harm? I mean, what did I do? Well, if you and I hadn't believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if his life isn't shining through us, then if we're not for him, then we're against him. And we don't have to be all that bad to be against him. So when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that which we didn't have, he gave back to us. That's something else that Luke is also about. It's about giving back what we have lost. There are people in our lives, and you and I know them, who are oppressed in addiction, relationships, substance, whatever that may be, who just has a hard time shaking it. They try and they try and they try, but it has power over them. And that's just not the only things. There's other things that can have power over us. We can be in relationships. We can be in things that's just not good for us. And we don't see it. But we have to be the ones who recognize it before we can do anything about it. We can pray for people. We can encourage them. We can do everything that we can. But until they are open to seeing the possibility that is something actually going on in my life, it's not hardly going to happen. Until Paul was knocked off of the horse. Until Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Saul wasn't able to say, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And I'm sure Paul, who was Saul then, said, oh, you know something? Someone else has been saying that. Jesus has come so that you and I can be free. Do you know who he has enabled us to be like? Ourselves. When Ben showed that picture of all of those animals and everything, you know, animals were created to be in the wilderness, in the kingdom. I'll never forget one person who was a news media, or he was talking to someone who knew about animals. There was a person who got too close to the polar bear cage. And the polar bear reached out from the cage and grabbed a hold of their leg and would not let them go. And it wasn't funny, but it sort of was. When the person said, there's only one thing a polar bear is interested in. What is there to eat? A polar bear is not interested in a personal relationship with another human being. You know what I thought? I said, that guy's smart. I mean, that's a wise thing to understand. You know, that is, don't you think that's wise? I mean, don't you think that sometimes we domesticate and we look at an animal and think, well, you know, I'm a nice person. And if this animal only knew that I was a nice person, we might have a good relationship. But one of the things that we can't ever underestimate is these animals are always wild. They'll always be wild. And you see, we have to also understand that as human beings, we're always going to need a Savior. Because we don't always know that we are oppressed. We don't always know that we are enslaved. But one of the things that God would have us to remember is that He wants us to be who we are. who he has created us to be. You know, if you enjoy having fun, you know, if you're a humorous person, you know, if you're a serious person, whoever you may be, you know, if you're the kind of person who enjoys your talent and you enjoy having a good time and all, you know, God doesn't want you to be any different than who you are. I remember when I was telling the story downstairs, I was at a church where we would give these jar openers, you know, made out of rubber, I think it was. You remember those jar openers that's made out of rubber, you know, that gives you a good grip and all? We had our name on it, you know, the church's name, the phone number and stuff like that. Well, we had a bishop show up at this church, and I said, well, you know, I think I'll give him one of these, you know, rubber things. So, you know, I said, well, you know, I try to be funny. I try to, you know, put a smile on people's face. So I said, Bishop, I want to give you this token as our appreciation for being here. And if you ever get in a pickle, here you are. Well, he smiled. He thought that was sort of funny. But there was a woman over here who didn't think that was funny at all to say to a bishop. And she pulled me to the side and she said, that was stupid. Maybe it was. But that's what I wanted to say. And that's what I did. And the bishop smiled. And you know, sometimes people want to help you. And they want to give you advice that you need to hear. And sometimes we need to hear it. And then sometimes the advice they give us is stupid. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things, brothers and sisters, that you and I need to hang on to is who we are. And to be comfortable with who we are. Because when you and I start trying to be like everybody wants us to be, we are going to be so confused. I encourage you to go on Google and type in the words, the yay yuck man. The yay yuck man. It's a story about a boy who wore everything his mother wanted him to wear and the same color she wanted him to wear. And every time he put it on, guess what she did? Yay! But then he went out into the world and guess what they said? Yuck. And now he's confused. Who's yay? Do you want? Whose yuck can you endure? One of the things that God calls us to be is one of his children. In his family, we are to encourage one another by saying yay. But in the world, we're going to hear a lot of yucks. But may we never allow that yuck to turn us into one of those yucks. May God's yea always overcome the world. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, for your wonderful words of life to come and to live within us. We pray that your Holy Spirit abides with us. And if not, we pray that you would enter us this day. Take reign of our hearts and our minds. Teach us, O Lord, how to be your children. Wash us, make us clean, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.